At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 199 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Jamie and I return to discuss all the antics of Formula One Sprint Weekend from the US Grand Prix. Finally, after 4 weeks away, Formula One was back. And boy did it come back with a bang, Jamie.
It did. And COTA always kind of delivers a good race, doesn't it? It's one of those modern classics in a way, isn't it? I think out of all of the circuits that Herman Tilke has designed, it feels like the most authentic, genuine Formula One race weekend, if you get what I mean. That's probably a big
claim.
Would
you say that?
Half a minute into the podcast, but yeah.
I would say he's had, I can think of at least three off the top of my head, Herman Tilke circuits that I think are better.
No, I mean, I don't think Coates is his best circuit, but it's the one that's, it's the one that's been the most integrated into the Formula One calendar in terms of like
it's
you don't
what, yeah
I have it, no doubt that it'll stay.
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah. And I quite like the fact COTA now is kind of like the serious US Grand Prix. They kind of throw all the annoying American stuff at Vegas or Miami, which I guess is good. But yeah, we've got a lot to rattle through today, haven't we? Obviously a sprint weekend was back. Controversy later in the race. So, there's controversy really throughout the weekend, isn't there? To a certain point. But one thing that was hopefully going to stop the controversy, Jamie, was actually the fact that they'd smoothen out a load of the circuit this year after obviously Hamilton and I believe also Leclerc got disqualified last year for floor plank wear.
Yeah. Hopefully, and had they tested everyone, it would have been like half the grid disqualified.
Well, we don't know, do we? It could have just been those two. It could have been pretty much everybody.
It could have been everyone but Max and whoever finished third. Who was it?
Or Sargent.
Yeah.
Who got points out of it.
He did get a point out of that. Yeah. There we go. But straight into sprint quali on Friday night. I quite enjoy this year's sprint format. If it's a good track.
I think it works better, yeah, to be honest.
I like that they're separated. So you've got gimmick sprint bit and then you've got real qualifying and race afterwards.
Yeah, what I didn't like was how late real qualifying was, because we'll get onto that in just a moment. I mean, to be honest, it seemed like all weekend long, it was kind of just, or at least in the qualifying sessions, it was all about who would not get their laps invalidated, because obviously COTA, I mean, the first section is obviously very, very high speed, high commitment, but apart from the exit of the S's, is fairly tidy with track limits. But it was really obviously the end of the back straight and, of course, that infamous penultimate corner as well, which is brutal for just running
wide. Every year it seems to get wider and wider, the track there, doesn't it? In terms of they've painted a bit of tarmac over a bit of curb.
Yep.
To make it easier to not corner track extend.
Yes, yeah. But
that people still track extend.
Well, it didn't stop. I think it was Oscar Piastri got his lap invalidated, didn't it, at turn 19?
Yes.
And Alex Albon also, he made a mistake there. I don't actually think at any point more than two wheels were outside the circuit, impressively.
The lap counted, but he did do
a 360. The lap did count. He did do a nice pirouette as well. That meant obviously Oscar Piastri out in Q1, which was quite a shocker. Bear in mind, I believe he's the only driver to have made it into Q3 at every single race this year.
Really?
Which is quite an impressive statistic. I'm pretty certain he is. Yeah, I might be wrong. Maybe Verstappen's made it as
well.
When
would Max have got it? Yeah, I don't remember that. Well, we'll fact check that and let you know.
Someone fact check that and tell us. Oscar Piastri was joined by Ocon and Shock, both Saubers. And Alex Albon, who is normally a very good qualifier, is the only driver so far in 2024 as well, Jamie, to never see Sprint Q2.
Yeah, I saw that. That's a surprise. Sprint races are not his friend, clearly.
Well, exactly, yeah. I mean, Q2, though, Perez was out alongside Lawson, Gasly, and Aston Martin again. They had a terrible US Grand Prix last year. And you really just feel like with kind of that battle going on between Haas and VCarb now, that Aston Martin might suddenly be seventh best, which is quite funny.
Yes, they're not at risk of losing fifth in a championship at all. But
no.
Car pace wise, they definitely looked seventh fastest this weekend.
I was going to say, I don't believe historically this has ever been a good Fernando Alonso track either. I don't think he's ever actually done that well.
No, he got a second place here in 2012. It was Hamilton, Vettel, Alonso, wasn't it? But he really had no business
for one of just three
there.
Times. No, exactly. Yeah, it just seems to be a track that Alonso really, really struggles at. And then, say, Q3 of sprint qualified, it was looking good as a Mercedes fan until Franco Colapinto almost binned it. Lewis Hamilton, 0.3 up in Sector 1, gets screwed by those yellow flags, makes a couple of little errors as well in the final sector. But it was a bizarre Q3, wasn't it? A bit like Miami earlier on in the year, where nobody seemed to get a particularly good lap in, but Max Verstappen did the least bad job and would end up claiming pole position over George Russell.
It was a very Verstappen-esque pole, wasn't it? And I guess it's only sprint poles, doesn't really count, but like he definitely didn't have the fastest car over one lap. But he did put it together and get that pole position, which I was very pleased about because, yeah, I think people are suddenly realizing, oh, Verstappen's actually, like, Perez is not an idiot. And if they had two Perezes in their car, they'd be fifth in the championship, fourth in the championship, wouldn't they? So
they'd set up the car a bit better. They'd redesign the car to be so front-end dependent.
I like that people are actually giving Max some respect. Because he is getting more out of that car than he probably should.
I think, you know, he gets the job done very reliably as well. And you know, I'm not going to sit here and try to claim, you know, he's not a very good driver either. But so I kind of feel you kind of get this weird balance, don't you, where some people probably overrate him because he's got a complete team setting up the car, designing the car around him. And then other people underrate him for exactly the same reason. I feel is always the kind of the oddity of Max Verstappen. I think ultimately, at the end of the day, what will define his legacy longer term, a bit like Sebastian Vettel, Jamie, what happens when he leaves Red Bull?
Yeah. And to be honest, I don't see him as another Seb Vettel. I think he's way better. And I've thought that for about 6 years.
But
everyone
said this about Seb for so long because obviously they didn't see his downfall coming. It does happen, and it happens to surprising people. Not going to say it's guaranteed, but it does happen.
I would be very surprised. I think
people
will
accept
as well. Quite a lot.
Oh, I'm not hooking up to any opium, to be honest. Like I said, it's one of those things that can be very difficult to predict. I'm just putting the point out there. But anyway, that brought us nicely into the sprint race, didn't it? And I tell you what, like I said, again, going into this weekend, I was not expecting it to be particularly exciting. COTA now, with these ground effect cars, is a fantastic... It feels like when they designed COTA, and obviously how it was going to be in a real good wheel-to-wheel, everything like that, it finally feels like, thanks to ground effect cars, that this circuit actually lives up to how it was intended to be raced.
Yeah, because in those slower speeds final sector, you can follow, like, close enough to be sending lunges and stuff. Obviously, the first sector single file, but... the DRS straights are long enough that you can get close, and then there's so many opportunities to overtake in that, especially from turn 12 onwards. It's like, yeah, it makes for a great race. I think last year's sprint was an absolute damp squib, wasn't it? But
last year's sprint, wasn't it, was completely then everyone going, oh, well, we now know exactly what's going to happen in the Grand Prix, wasn't it? I think that, because that was one of the weekends where I think Verstappen either had a grid penalty or struggled or something. And ended up like P5 or P6, if I remember correctly, and still obviously ended up winning.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, let's talk me through the start, Jamie, because it ended up being, well, not as dramatic as the race start, but still quite an interesting.
Pretty dramatic.
Early on in the sprint.
Yeah. And you had Norris starting P4, which is slightly out of position based on the form of the season, at least. He really had to get on Max, obviously, because the championship fight that everyone's billing. 60 points gap was crucial, and people were tipping McLaren to probably have a slightly faster race car if they could get it together than the Red Bull. Lando straight away got ahead of Leclerc and Russell, who were starting both directly ahead of him. Verstappen covered off the inside, and that kind of forced Russell to the middle of the track, and that was it. Max drove off into the distance. Norris up in second, willing to chase. And then, you had Russell briefly third, wasn't he? With the two Ferraris, fifth and fourth. Which I don't know why I said it like that, but I did. There we go.
Because you like to count from the back, don't you, Jamie?
Exactly.
You did that last week. You did that last week with our scores on the predictions.
I did.
You went 58-63 or something, which made me chuckle. It's kind of that thing, isn't it, with the sprint races, where it kind of gave us a better idea. It kind of takes some of the potential intrigue out of a Grand Prix, wasn't it? Because obviously we pretty quickly learnt that George tried to give Lando a bit of a battle early on. Lando was able to cover him off and then kind of went in pursuit of Max at the front. And he kind of obviously made us realise, yeah, Mercedes just have not got the setup this weekend. They've tried to focus too much on pace rather than tyres, which, as we'll get into, continued to screw them as the weekend went on. Fernando Alonso, this was probably my highlight of the sprint race as well, getting absolutely rattled by Liam Lawson for race, and I'm going to have to quote Alex Albon here, for racing him too hard. Did you watch the clips from that? And Lawson just raced him.
It was genuinely like nothing. It was aggressive. This is what all the young drivers do now. And like, Alonso is coming across like a little bit of a dinosaur, isn't he, really? Because all Lawson did was just be aggressive. He wasn't overly aggressive. It wasn't illegal.
He didn't push him off. It wasn't even aggressive by modern F1 standards.
No, it was aggressive compared to F1 in 2005. But yeah, it wasn't that bad. And the radio message from Alonso that it was like, it's his career on the line, not mine, was like outrageous. But because Liam Lawson's going to be in F1 a hell of a lot longer than Alonso is.
Are you saying that now, are you?
Lawson won't get to 400 races, but Alonso will retire.
He might do
Lawson.
If they put 30 races a year in,
I guess,
pretty soon.
Yeah.
Alonso
going a lot longer, yeah.
Alonso now, honestly, to me, and I know I've never been a fan of his anyway, but he's like one of those people you see on social media all the time going on. Like, I don't know why, but he just gives me the vibe that he'll go online about how people shouldn't have kids because it means you can go on more holidays. And like, why does anyone have children? Like, I can go on holiday all the time. He's kind of, it feels like, gone past the point of old guard, you know, still got it, to kind of just grumpy old man in the way. But of course, you don't know how good he's actually doing still. A bit like Alex Albon this year. You don't know how good he's actually doing because he hasn't got a serious teammate.
Yeah, totally. Albon's been stat padding for 2.5 years, so like we don't have a clue if he's actually doing well or not. That Williams could be the sixth fastest car.
Also a generational talent.
Well, I don't think Albon's a generational talent since he got rinsed by Verstappen. But, yes.
Put him in the right car. No, he's one of those things, isn't it, with Alonso, where you're kind of going, you know, he didn't barge you off. He didn't do anything. You were annoyed that you lost another spot from it. And that's kind of all well and good when you're in the car, but when you get out and kind of say all that stuff as well and have an argument with him after the sprint race of all things, when you're not battling for points anyway, you kind of go, mate, just, is it time to think about calling it? Surely.
He'll give a new e-car a run and then see what happens.
He'll have
after that
to,
one.
Won't you? You'd be mad not to, but yeah, it just seems a little bit odd. But I mean, Ferrari, again, were the other ones putting on a show, weren't they? Because Carlos Sainz, obviously not with that team next year, he just seemingly fancied racing for himself, which I quite liked.
Yeah, I like a lot, and we do see it quite a lot when drivers know they've been dropped. Basically, they can start ignoring the team and not doing what's best for the team, but doing best for themselves. And Sainz did that, and he actually didn't get. No, he did get out ahead of Leclerc, didn't he? In the end, he finished ahead of Leclerc, and it was a great battle. The three-way fight, really, because Norris's tyres gave up towards the end, didn't they? And you had Norris ahead of two Ferraris for second, third, and fourth. And yeah, they were going for it. It was great to watch.
We love it. We absolutely love it. I mean, we did have a few other bits and pieces. Obviously, we mentioned, obviously, Lawson and Alonso. We also had Tsunoda, obviously, clearly reminding Red Bull. I mean, he's finally been announced that he's going to get a Red Bull test, hasn't he? But yeah, Tsunoda also bullying Sergio Perez as well. Is the only way I could describe it, which was also hilarious.
Yeah, and I think Red Bull have suddenly woken up to the idea that, like, oh wait, we've thrown all these second drivers into that VCarb seat and none of them have matched Tsunoda. So is he actually good? Similarly,
I think
really,
Lawson matched him last
year. Well, Lawson
but,
has
yeah,
so far, but yeah.
Should have brought Gasly back, shouldn't they?
Exactly. I said that at the time, but yeah.
I would,
rubbish, but Gasly's great.
I say, I would genuinely love to know whether Gasly has any kind of regrets or whether he's still always there going, I'm just happy I'm out of that situation. Yes, Alpine's a burning building as well, but I'm just happy I'm not
But it's
there.
His burning building, isn't it?
Exactly. I mean, he got all dramatic though, didn't it? Right at the end of the race, because, well, Lando Norris, let's be fair, Jamie, based on the rest of the weekend, title fight over, isn't it? We'll get into that a bit later on. But
You're
he
giving
did
up already.
Oh, I'm giving up. But yeah, he did bottle it on the very last lap as well, when Carlos and Leclerc had really closed up to him. Lost the place to Sainz down at turn one. Hilariously, then he defended the inside line through the final sector. Leclerc tried to commit to a move that was never going to work. Yeah. And apparently, according to some, let's say, delusional Leclerc fans, he apparently brake-checked him and should have got a penalty like Alonso did back at Australia. Which just blew my mind that anyone with a functioning brain could view it like that.
That Lando broke for a corner. It was a double left-hander. That's everyone loves a dive bomb there, to be fair. But Lando covered
the
inside very well.
Defended it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And he just broke for the corner. To be fair, similar to what Alonso did. I don't think Alonso deserved a penalty that time. He was
no, Alonso
clever.
Dropped off so early, though. If you've watched that from Russell's onboard, you can see.
You have to be alert on a street circuit. That's what Jolyon Palmer said.
Okay. So, I'd never forget the goat.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, Norris was not in the wrong in this case. And Twitter Leclerc fans are a special breed. I'll put it like that.
They really can be, can't they, at the end of the day. But yeah, it did mean we ended up with Max taking the sprint win. He basically walked away in turn one and never looked back. Max, then Lando, Charles Leclerc, George Russell, Lewis Hamilton, and Haas double points in the sprint.
In a sprint.
Announced their new partnership with Toyota, and suddenly now they're the fifth best team on the grid. I love it.
Love it. And Holt qualified sixth.
You'd be
as well.
Mad to leave them at the end of the year.
I'm really annoyed. Because, Hülkenberg has been, since summer break, he's been doing absolute business for that team. And, he's going to leave and go to a team literally getting lapped every week.
It's fantastic news, isn't it?
And not scoring a point all year.
The podium dream is real, though, Jamie.
What, for the last six, five races?
No, well, either next year or this year, something. He'll get a podium, won't he,
Jamie? Will.
Definitely.
He will at some point in his lifetime.
What, maybe not in Formula 1?
Maybe, well, he already has some not in Formula 1. Take him back to F2, that's where it was at.
GP2 back then, sir.
Yeah,
let's move in, though. It was a late Saturday night for the pair of us. Jamie, be honest with me, did you stay up and watch the whole of qualifying?
I actually listened to the whole of qualifying.
Where were you?
I didn't have a laptop. I was seeing my grandma. She was long in bed by then. But, I didn't have anything to watch it on. So I just stuck it on 5 Live. And,
fair enough.
I had the dulcet tones of Harry Benjamin and Jolyon Palmer, and Andrew Benson. So you know,
and Andrew Benson actually does something for his paycheck, does he? At the BBC,
he's quite good.
I did not know.
He takes no prisoners at all.
No, he
on
seems
the radio
fairly
commentary.
Kind of sharp with it all, I guess.
Yeah,
which is good. But I mean, there's been a bit of controversy, haven't there, after the sprint, because Mercedes, both George and Lewis, were there like, this car's set up horrendously. They brought some new upgrades this weekend. And they just clearly weren't. They show good one lap pace, but then clearly they weren't good in the race. So Mercedes then apparently, I don't know exactly how much of this is guaranteed truth or anything, but as far as I gather, Mercedes then changed George's car. They kept the new parts on, but they completely changed the setup on it.
He had Canada's floor.
Yeah. They then told Lewis that we can't change your car because we want to get data. And that basically made his car undrivable by the time they got into the Grand Prix, because as the circuit got warmer and warmer as the weekend went on, he basically completely screwed him. And he would find himself out in Q1, and I'll be honest, I was in bed watching
you
qualifying.
Turned off qualifying after
the girlfriend had already fallen asleep next to me after saying she was going to stay up, and she genuinely fell asleep within 2 minutes of it starting. I was already doing the nodding dog. I saw Lewis end up out alongside, I mean, he got out qualified by Bottas in the Sauber, and obviously the Williams as well also out, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm just not like dedicating myself to stay awake for this now. So I have vague memories of Q2, but I didn't really watch.
Yeah, Q2 was pretty dead because we already kind of had the drivers that were going to get Q3. The only surprises, I guess, you could say Gasly getting in there.
And Alonso.
Alonso getting in there as well. You'd maybe expect Hulkenberg and Ocon to get three, but yeah, when you've got Ocon, Stroll, and arguably Lawson too, in Q2.
Well, he was taking a grid penalty, wasn't he? So he was just being used as slipstream
As slipstream. So you had three of the spots already decided. And you maybe would have your money on like Magnussen and Gasly going out, and they did quite well to go through. But to be honest, it's all minor placings, isn't it, really? They're going to end up 12th or 8th, you know. That could be gone in the space of lap one. So, yeah, Q2 is a fairly dull affair. But I did stay awake, so, you know, props to me for that.
You were driving, weren't you?
No, I was in my hotel room.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I did not know this.
And then Q3. Again, fairly anticlimactic because he had the first runs. To be fair to Norris, he went for it properly on that first run and was put it on provisional pole ahead of Verstappen, who was kind of the favourite after sprint quality. But Lando, turn 19 especially, was on the limit. He was right on it. Didn't get invalidated and got pole position. And then the second runs came around and Russell, who was one of the first cars in the snake, crashed at turn 19, which would become a bit of a theme for Mercedes-Benz over the course of the weekend. And because he was the first in the snake, it meant no one, it was a red flag and nobody could set their laps. So we went off the first runs, which was Lando Norris on pole position from Max Verstappen, Carlos Sainz, Charles Leclerc, and Oscar Piastri, who had a really quiet weekend, to be fair, by his high standards at this point in the season. Russell, in crashing, actually guaranteed himself P6, but I'm not sure anyone would have beaten him behind him anyway, because it was Gasly, Alonso, Magnussen and Perez. And then Russell had to replace his car as well.
I was going to say, it didn't really matter at the end, did it? Because obviously George then would start from the pit lane anyway due to Parc Fermé. And that gets us into our second Mercedes conspiracy of the weekend. clearly, these new parts on the car were working so well that they had no spares. Hamilton opted to give his to George, and George refused them. How bad does an upgrade need to be where the team and driver who doesn't want you new parts on the car? Mercedes this year, I tell you what, it feels like half the upgrades they brought have just sent them backwards, which has been a real shame. And they refused to change Lewis's car despite the fact he told the team it was literally undrivable by the end of Saturday.
And like, it wasn't like they had a good position to protect. He qualified second last.
Exactly. What were they worried about by giving him this undrivable car ready for the race? Jamie, before I get too mad, talk me through the start.
Yes, the start was pretty controversial. The track's massive, if you hadn't noticed, at COTA. Like, you could probably fit 12 cars wide if you were lining them up at the widest point. Yeah. So there's a lot of space to send it. It's a bit like India's turn three, if you back in those days. And Lando has a lot of space to protect on the inside. He goes halfway or maybe three quarters of the way to protecting the inside line, but it's not enough to stop Verstappen sending it. And that's exactly what he does. And you could tell, like, you just knew when Verstappen wasn't on pole and Norris was, that, well, Verstappen's just going to send it. It was the most obvious thing since sliced bread. That's exactly what happened. They both go off track, but because Verstappen is ahead at the apex, which will become important later, that means that it's fine. And it's lap one, so rules don't apply, apparently.
So stupid.
Yeah, so Verstappen takes the position from Norris. In the meanwhile, almost both Ferraris get through. One of them does get through. Charles Leclerc goes from fourth to first for the second time in four races, which is pretty impressive. Verstappen second, Sainz is third, and Norris has lost three positions from pole position, which It's hilarious. Wham. Once again,
I genuinely don't get Lando Norris. How much data must McLaren trawl through and study and everything for him not to work out that the inside line is turn one? He cannot give Max any space to have a look.
Yeah.
Like, how little does he... Like, he talks all this stuff. Oh, you know, I still think remember the shot of the world title, all this, that, and the other. If you can't even defend turn one at COTA, of all places... Like, I genuinely, at this point now, like I said, I've given up with any... And it's not even that I want Lando to win the world title. I've said it before, I just don't want Max to win another one.
Anyone but Max, you're part of that.
Exactly, but I've just given up. Like, Lando Norris, it's moments like that where he might win a world title like Jensen did in a dominant car at some point, but he just does not have the grit or
willingness. He's in a dominant car right now.
I mean, he's not, though, is he? Nothing like that Brawn was at the start of 09. I think the idea of dominant cars nowadays is completely lost on people. Like, it's nothing like it used to be.
23 out of 24 races last year.
I mean this year, though, when people say
yeah, there's nothing dominant this year at all. Apart from the Red Bull in the first five.
But you just think, how on earth, in that scenario, are you even allowing him to have a sniff?
Yeah.
Like, you can't, like...
He had quite a lot of space come the eighth,
He gave him a full car's width.
Yeah, easily.
Like, why?
Yeah. And it wasn't... Like, obviously, track position is quite important in Formula 1. I don't know if you noticed.
I've learned that in my 15 years, more than.
Yeah.
But clearly, so Lando hasn't.
Was not going to take any prisoners into Turn 1, and that's exactly what he didn't do. That was Verstappen having P2. The race kind of settled down, didn't it, the first stint? There's more to talk about on lap one.
Let's not forget, down the end of the back straight, Carlos Sainz goes down the inside of Verstappen into turn 12. He's ahead at the apex, Jamie. Max runs off the circuit to hold on to the position. But that is a topic for later on. Also, Esteban Ocon got spam, which, looking at the replays, was probably Lewis's fault.
Was it? Because Albon
was the one that hit him, but Albon was really... Lewis basically did what he did at Miami, where he just sent it into turn one, and there was a crash that he avoided. Which
and
I was kind of like...
Everyone on the outside.
Exactly. It's just kind of like, oh, Lewis, that's not great. And it got worse immediately, because that undrivable car we mentioned, it lasted 6 miles before Hamilton got ridiculous oversteer through the penultimate corner. It looked like it bottomed out exactly, like instantly, and there was nothing he could do. And it was over before it really began.
I absolutely loved Lewis Hamilton in the interview. I don't know if you saw, it was on 5 Live, which again, I was listening to this race because I was driving. He interviewed with Jenny Gow and basically said, I've never spun before in a race, certainly not on lap two. And I'm like, I want to fact check this, but he must have spun in a race before. I'm not having that.
Jamie, this actually leads us nicely into our quiz.
Okay.
Because this is Lewis Hamilton's 32nd ever race where he wasn't running. I would call it a DNF, but there's technically a couple that he's been classified but not actually finished. There's 32 races where Hamilton wasn't running come the checkered flag.
Right.
Your quiz today, I'm going to give you... I was going to say, I'm going to give you 2 minutes, I think, because I just don't think there'll be some of you just won't get. Your quiz today is to name me every single DNF slash not running.
Can I have no timer? I want to have a good go at this.
Okay, but we'll do that then. But if you get one wrong, you're out.
Okay, I'm going to work backwards from present to backwards. Obviously, US 24.
Oh, that's incorrect, I'm afraid. He was still running around at the end.
Was he? He's running around the paddock on his scooter.
I'm sure he was already long gone by the time that the race was done.
Has there been another one this year? Qatar 23.
Correct.
I'm just going to do ones that I'm sure of. I'm probably going to... Oh, it's ESQ's count.
Technically no. Okay. Not on. I don't think I've got them on this list.
Right.
Pretty, so.
Belgium 22, because I was there.
Yep.
Abu Dhabi 22.
Correct. That was, I believe,
that
the
he was
only
three laps
one on this list. Exactly. So he was classified, but he wasn't running.
The first 2 years, Lewis Hamilton raced a new circuit in Abu Dhabi. He didn't bother doing the last lap. So. Yes, 2022. Okay. Monza 2021.
Correct.
Whose fault was that? Probably his.
Excuse me?
He finished at Baku. We didn't get points. That was it in 21, I think. I'm just going to go through the ones that I'm sure of and then come back at the end. 2020. There weren't many races he didn't win this year, to be honest. No, I don't think he had any DNFs. There was one year Mercedes had a double DNF at Austria, but that would have been 2018.
Correct.
I'm missing so many, I know, but it's what it is.
I'll let you into a secret. Between that Austrian Grand Prix and today, you're only missing one.
Really? Okay. Well, yeah. 2020, he had full reliability in 17, I remember that. So it's one before that would have been Spain 2016.
Correct.
And Malaysia 2016, of course.
Correct. I was going to say, if you forget that one. You're doing very well so far.
Finished every other race in 16, I think. 2015, again, there wasn't many races he didn't win. I think he had full reliability. No, he didn't. He didn't finish. Oh, I might get this wrong. It was Singapore.
Correct.
2015, because Rosberg couldn't win, because Mercedes were awful.
Because he's useless.
2014, you had Canada.
Correct.
And you had Australia.
Correct.
And you had Belgium.
Correct.
And I think that was it.
This is impressive.
I'm skipping 20. I might start from the bottom up now because I feel like I'm more familiar with Hamilton being good than his mediocre years.
the lost years of Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah, 07. I'm going to work that way now. Meet in the middle. You had China.
Correct.
And I think that was it. Because he didn't do well at Hockenheim, or at Nürburgring, but he did finish.
Say, no one did well at Hockenheim that year, sir.
There wasn't a race. I'll go into 08 then. Oh, he didn't score points at Bahrain, but I think he finished. He crashed into Alonso. So I'll leave that. DSQ in Australia 09 doesn't count, does it?
No.
Disqualifications
aren't included.
2010, DNFs. They had back-to-back in Italy and Singapore.
Correct.
I might throw in the towel. There's definitely more. Oh, 2012, you had about six. Let me get there.
I was going to say, 2012 was statistically, in terms of DNFs, his worst year.
Abu Dhabi.
Correct.
And also 09 Abu Dhabi. You can throw that one in.
Correct.
Singapore 12.
Correct.
Italy he won. Belgium, Grosjean.
Correct.
He had so many this year. I guess a lot of them are just bad pit stops as well, weren't they? Brazil. She with Timo Glock.
I was
going to
say if you don't get Brazil.
he got a gearbox problem in Brazil 2011 as well. Don't ask me why I know that.
He did, correct.
That I'm giving up. That's it.
You need to just pluck some of these out of thin air. So. There's a couple here that I think you're going to kick yourself over.
Yeah, I've run out of my brain. I've done.
Yeah,
a lot.
No. You, to be fair, you've done staggeringly well. What's that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. 21 out of 32.
That's
is
not
a
bad
very
at all.
Impressive.
And I would have got more with enough time, I think. But I just everyone's going to get.
You've missed one in the turbo hybrid era, which is staggering. Do you want to know why that's more staggering? It's from this year.
Oh, it was this year. I'm looking at it. It's Australia. What happened in Australia?
It is Australia. He had an engine failure. Not long after Max.
It was Ham Ver, wasn't it? 19th and 20th.
It was. Yeah, Ham Bot Ver. Because Bottas had a 2-minute pit stop. 2013 Japan. I can't remember what happened there.
No chance.
So obviously you mentioned Brazil, Abu Dhabi, Singapore, Belgium in 2012. Also Germany. And obviously Maldonado took him out.
Oh yeah, he did, didn't he?
Valencia. At
Valencia.
2011, Canada. Should have got that, well, I think.
Oh yeah, Button took him out. Jensen Button, yeah. Took himself out. And Belgium, well, Kobayashi took him out.
And Belgium. No, how can you get them both wrong?
Belgium 2011, Kobayashi. Kobayashi.
It was Kobayashi, yeah. But Hamilton took himself out on Kobayashi's front end.
What can I say? I'm a special Hamilton hater. Exactly. I know all his DNFs.
2010, Hungary.
That was a transmission, wasn't it?
That was. 2010, Spain. Probably the one that cost him the World title that year.
The puncture, yeah.
Yep. And then you've only got three more to go. Belgium and Italy, 2009. Yeah. And then 2008, Canada, where he went into the back of Raikkonen.
Oh, yeah. And so did Rosberg.
Exactly. Do you know... So, obviously, that's 32 DNFs in Formula 1 since 2007. Yeah. Do you know how many DNFs Verstappen's had out of interest?
Probably getting on for similar.
Bang on the same. 32.
Yeah, I was going to say, his reliability in Red Bull early days was awful.
His reliability, actually, he's not had any more. I don't think he's had any more mechanical failures than Lewis. It's just more crashes.
Yeah, but to have had the same amount of mechanical failures when Verstappen's on about half his races is pretty good going.
But my point is, he's crashed as many times as Lewis in half the time.
Yeah.
Did you see as well the fun fact that came out? Like, the one bit of hopium I've got from this weekend is because neither Lewis or Max won, Hamilton now has a higher win percentage in F1 again. See, he's got 29.91 to 29.9.
Verstappen has got the second most race wins in the first 200 races of their career.
Who's he behind?
Schumacher.
Is it Schumacher? Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
There you go.
Fair play.
Well, that was 10 fair minutes play. Of boredom for all the fans. But
it was. We've done well. We've done well. Where were we even on the race? Oh, yeah. Lewis
Hamilton retired.
Yeah. Joe, then.
Yeah, I was getting quite positive. I heard Joe on the radio was in 13.
He was P13, like, yeah. He must have got a nosebleed that high.
Yeah. That, we'll blame that. Because, yeah, it didn't go great. You know,
to
it's
be
bad
fair,
when,
it's
it,
not
when
on
a driver apologises immediately.
Yeah. To be fair, it's not on the notes, but Yuki then also did the same thing later on.
Yes. Yeah.
Which was a bit of a shame. But to be honest, the race was a bit odd because it was kind of, there was a lot of close racing, but not a lot of actual stuff happening. Apart from, again, obviously our well-loved just DRS zone overtakes. Lawson, he continued to bully Alonso as the race going on. I guess the only kind of other big talking point in the early race was George Russell getting a 5-second penalty for pushing Valtteri Bottas out down the end of the back straight.
Yeah.
Now, he got it stopped inside the white lines. He didn't give Bottas any room on the outside, but because Bottas was ahead apparently at the apex, Russell got a 5-second penalty. Despite the fact I genuinely don't believe Bottas would have been upset by that.
No. I mean, Sauber must have complained, because they don't investigate stuff unless they're asked to.
No, they do. They always do, anyway.
I don't know. I
feel
otherwise,
like, Red Bull could do anything they ever wanted to V-carb.
I guess. I mean, they do that anyway, to be honest.
Well, yeah.
They make them pit for fastest laps to give Ricciardo a send-off. And
they do. Fastest laps scrapped for next year, Jamie.
Yeah,
I think that's
we
a
love
good
that.
Move.
Yeah, that's Ricciardo's legacy in the sport. He's got rid of fastest laps.
That's what
he'll
be remembered for. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why Russell got a penalty. I don't think he knows either. It didn't end up meaning anything, I don't think.
No, luckily not.
But yeah, the first thing was an undercut attempt from Ferrari, which Verstappen just didn't bother. It's one of those, isn't it, where you kind of, if you don't pit the same lap, then you've already lost, so you might as well go for a tire offset.
Yeah,
so
and I think
went for
Ferrari
a tire
Ferrari just looked rapid, didn't they?
They did.
I think genuinely Red Bull were kind of there going, there's no real point.
Yeah, I guess. And if they'd have pit one lap later, they'd have lost the place anyway, so they might as well have tried at least
try
and get offset,
the race back at the
pace,
end of it. Yeah.
The pace just wasn't there. So Sainz undercut Max into second, and that was that, really, for the 1-2, wasn't it? And Ferrari, I know he spoke out in the summer, the winter break a lot, actually, about Fred Vasseur a couple of years ago. He's doing bits. Is Lewis Hamilton about to win an 8th World Championship?
Let's hope so. I reckon he will.
I hope he goes to Abu Dhabi and then Michael Massey comes back.
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me. I mean, yeah, the second half of the race, though, wasn't it? It was all about just watching Lando desperately trying to close in that gap to Verstappen. And by about lap 50, he'd finally got in the DRS, hadn't he, Jamie?
Yes.
Lap 51, he attempts it. Max forces him out. He can't do anything. Lap 52, Lando, he's in the DRS down the back straight. He gets ahead of Max. Max then dives back to the inside, doesn't he, to the apex. He's technically ahead at the apex, but certainly not slowing his car down in time. Forces both himself and Lando off the road. Lando then goes round him, keeps the place, just like Max did on lap one with Carlos, let's not forget. And then the stewards take until the very last lap, until halfway round, they finally decide Lando gets a penalty. And it was at that exact moment that I knew the World Championship this year was not going to amount to anything.
Yeah, plain, where do we start with this?
Plain and simple.
It's complicated.
Let's get the first thing out of the way. First of all, whether you like Max or you like Lando or you like anybody else, desperately we can agree that there needs to, like, wheel-to-wheel racing, we've said this before so many times, wheel-to-wheel racing in F1 currently does not exist. It cannot exist with these rules. And I get that Formula 1, when Verstappen burst onto the scene and was doing all this, that and the other, you know, making the races exciting and everything like that, it was great fun for a little while. It's just stupid, isn't it? I genuinely think the best rule should be, if the car has got their front wheels alongside your rear wheels, you have to give them a car's width. Yeah. Inside the white lines. If you don't, and they manage to hang it around the outside of you or something like that into a corner, and you try and squeeze them out, you've got to give up that place. Simple as.
Yeah, but what I don't like at all is, we've talked about this as well, it's deciding stuff based on outcome as well. Because if, for instance, you see penalties every year at Austria at turn three.
Yeah, I was just about to say, yeah.
Or turn four, sorry, isn't it, technically? But whatever. The end of the third DRS straight in a row. Yep. There is gravel on the outside of that. So if you don't leave the car on the outside a car's width, they're in the gravel.
Yep.
You always get a penalty at Austria for forcing a car into the gravel trap, because the car you forced out loses about 5 to 10 seconds. If they put a strip of gravel on the outside of turn 12 at Kota, Verstappen would have got a penalty. Russell would have got a penalty.
Yep. Like, well, Russell did, but
he did, which is dumb. And also, Verstappen probably would have got one on lap one as well. Or maybe Sainz would have done. Who knows? It's basically because I see where they've got to this conclusion. It's just dumb, the logic.
They just need a rework of it. Because the thing is, as well, like, as we've said before, people bang on even to this day about how good that fight was between Alonso and Hamilton in Hungary 2021. Yeah. We've banged this drum so many times. It was good because they, like, Formula One drivers now, there's no point having respect for each other on the road.
Because
the rules make it pointless. Because you can basically slap someone across the face and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. It desperately needs fixing for next year. We've said it so many times.
It does.
And I mean, we know exactly how we both feel. I think Max should have got a penalty, not Lando, in that situation. Yes, ultimately it wouldn't affect him anything. So at the end of the day, Lando, I don't think, should have got a penalty for that incident. I'm sure you probably think it was fair, Jamie, because it benefited Max.
No, what I think is, given the way Max sent it from behind and both of them end up off the track, I do think
he's effectively tried to go for another overtake.
It's a Brazil 21, isn't it, with Hamilton at turn four. And that was a bit of a farce that Verstappen got away with that at the time. I think Norris shouldn't have taken the place, because by taking the place, he's opening himself up to be penalised.
Yep.
I think if Norris stays behind, like, if he lifts off and comes back into fourth place, Verstappen probably gets a penalty for forcing off the track.
McLaren absolutely did not play this the right way either.
No.
That was the other thing that annoyed me with it.
And what surprised me most is that everyone in the paddock seems to have just taken it as this is how it is.
Well, what, like, can you do?
I guess. But Norris didn't seem that upset. He was like, well, you know, Max defended well and whatever.
Because he's not got a winning mentality, like, has he? This is my problem with Lando as well, of all people.
Like, and I think Verstappen, I don't blame him, And yes, it's, you could say it's disrespectful, but he's just playing to the rule sheet that he's been given. Which
he's playing to stupid rules. But I think the problem that bugs me with Verstappen doing it as well, of course, is that he's kind of brought this on. And he's kind of been...
He was the pioneer and the master.
He was the pioneer of this just complete lack of respect for each other on the circuit. That's what annoys me with it. And it kind of feels like the FIA coddled him for so long over it. I mean, you look back at even Austria this year. Max went off the road, kept the position, and that was after Lando had got past him, stayed between the white lines himself, and Max was then allowed to keep that place. How then in this scenario is Lando not allowed to keep the place? It just, again, is F1 inconsistency. And I'll be honest as well, Jamie, and I'm sure, you know, not ethically fair either, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's also a sport. If Formula One wanted to make it entertaining as well, they would have just not given Lando a penalty for it. And, let you know, at least give us a bit of momentum towards the end of the year, which I'm absolutely not going to sit here and say it's the right thing. But we've seen it before, haven't we? Where they've given out a penalty that is a bit 50-50, or probably shouldn't have been a penalty as well, to try and keep the entertainment.
Yeah. Yeah. And they haven't done that this time, to be fair to them. But, yeah, I think McLaren are a bit naive with this, because I think given where Norris went off the track and came back on the track ahead, he's going to get a penalty because it's illogical. I think Verstappen maybe should have got a penalty too for forcing him off, but McLaren and Norris, in coming back ahead, it's obvious they're going to get a penalty for that.
They've opened themselves up, haven't they?
Exactly.
It's just kind of, again, that whole thing of once more Max Verstappen will be able to go home and just think, I can get away with that, I can do that. And that's what annoys me with it more than anything else, is just the fact that that's acceptable.
Yeah, and that's on the FIA, because just playing to the rules he's got, you know? If football didn't crack down on handballs, he'd have everyone picking the ball up.
Exactly.
That's
quite a funny one to think about. I mean, it did moan me. Obviously, all of this went on. Ferrari 1-2.
Yeah.
Just absolutely wiped the floor with everybody, which is quite impressive. Verstappen would finish P3 ahead of both McLarens. Russell, despite his pit start, and a 5-second penalty, still beat Perez, which is hilarious.
Yeah, Perez was awful.
With Hülkenberg, Lawson now relegates Bottas to 23rd in a 20-man championship. And I believe Colin Pinto scored another point.
He did. Well, only because, did you hear the radio message from Haas to Magnussen, which was really weird?
No.
Because Magnussen was running ahead of Hülkenberg in, or maybe just behind, in 8th or 9th, basically. And then on about lap 40, towards the end of the race, he was coming around the final sector, and they were like, box now, Kevin, box now, you have to box right now. It's like the Raikkonen one, wasn't it? Where, like, Kimi, get out of the effing way.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, they didn't tell him why, and they went to Haas and tried to find out why, and they were like, it was a lack of communication. So I don't know what's gone on there. There's been a rush of blood somewhere, and they basically called Magnussen in for a second stop, and that dropped him out of the points. He didn't need to, because he had younger tyres than a lot of drivers on the track. So, but it gave Hülkenberg 8th. So, you know what? I can't complain. Colin Pinto again outperforming Albon, who had damage from Hamilton kamikazing everyone at turn one.
Colin Pinto get damage from that?
Albon did. Why Colin Pinto beat him.
I get you. Who was your driver of the day, Jamie? I think, or driver of the weekend, I should say. I think sensibly for me, it's got to actually be Leclerc, to be honest.
Yeah, Charles Leclerc's probably a good option.
You're going to say Verstappen, I already
know. I'll say Leclerc too.
Fair enough.
I think Verstappen drove very well. Also, shout out to Esteban Ocon for getting fastest lap.
His first ever in the sport, fun fact.
Really? They did it because Colin Pinto is getting fastest lap. And obviously Alpine still think they can beat Williams.
Wow. They got to worry about Sauber, I reckon.
Also,
by the end
I don't know how Colin Pinto got fastest lap, was on for fastest lap before that anyway. Like, what's Leclerc doing?
He was one of the last cars to pit because he went the alternate strat.
Yeah, but still, a Williams on fresh-ish mediums. Surely Leclerc can go faster than that if he was trying.
No, surely not. Race rating, Jamie? What are we saying?
It was good. It was all right. It was definitely...
It was a race that happened.
I didn't write down what we gave Singapore. Oh, no. I'll have to go back and find that.
I don't think we rated Singapore very highly. I think we both gave it like a 4, to be honest.
It was pretty bad, wasn't it? I'll go for a 7.
Oh, that's all right then, because I was going to say exactly the same thing.
Good.
So, it's a deep... We've rated it the same as Spain, haven't we? And I think you could argue they were pretty similar Grand Prix.
Yeah, yeah. And a bit of controversy at the end is always good. And yeah, 2017 rings a bell where Verstappen got a penalty and dropped off the podium. Rightly so that time, because he did just call a cut and take the place. And Raikkonen did nothing wrong.
Man. Predictions, Jamie. Is it a 5? I'm annoyed about this one, I'll be honest, because I was looking at this as the race went on, and I was like, I'm actually going to, I think, level your points this weekend, which I was happy with. Okay. And then things went pear-shaped.
Right. So it was 61 to 66 before this, in favour of you. And I said that Oscar Piastri would win the sprint. So when he qualified 17th, I was a bit annoyed.
You were a bit trouble there, yeah.
You said Lando Norris would win the sprint, which is also wrong.
0 points.
I said Lando Norris would get pole position, so thank you very much, George Russell.
2 points.
You said Charles Leclerc would get pole position, so unlucky.
So 0 points.
I went for a podium of Norris, Verstappen, Piastri.
So you got 1 point there.
1 out of 3. You went for Leclerc, Norris, Hamilton.
2 points.
So what's that overall? I got 3.
You're 3. I got 2. You got 2. Which I'm gutted with, because I should have got... I would have pulled out points on you.
You would have done.
Had Norris beaten Verstappen.
No, you would have levelled. You did like... Oh, no, because I'd have lost.
No, because you only got 2, exactly, Well, damn it. That's annoying.
Unlucky. So that's what...
If you beat me by 2 points by the end of the year, I'm going to hold that to you.
You're going to ring Derek Warwick and tell him he's a mug.
I am. Well, do you want to know a fun fact, Jimmy? Do you know what Derek Warwick does in his spare time?
F1 steward?
No.
What does he do?
He owns a Honda dealership. That's genuinely true. He owns a Honda dealership in London.
That's
who powers Red Bull's cars again?
That's funny. He's just sending his stock price up, isn't he?
Well, trying to, at least.
Yeah.
Trying to. I mean, we've rambled on for a long, old time, haven't we, Jamie?
We have.
And even better for our listeners, we'll have another podcast out later on this week as well, previewing Mexico.
We will indeed, Jamie, episode 200.
Episode 200 is a big one, the Mexico preview. We're looking forward to it. Oh, man. Jamie, have we got anything else to add?
I don't think we do, so there we go.
No? Wonderful.
Thank
wonderful.
You if you made
Thank
it to the
you
end.
All. Exactly. As always, so much for listening. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure to leave a like. Get yourself subscribed. We're making good progress still towards 1,000 subs. We're up to 754. So we're 3/4 of the way there now. So get yourself subscribed if you're not already. And we'll be back later on this week, ready with more Knowing Wheel.